Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Welcome to Southern Sense, which is common sense, and we won't tolerate any nonsense. So tune in and stand by.
Hello to another Tweak Tuesday on Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open, as well as our toll-free line to call in, which is 877-404-1619. I hope I am coming through clear on this. It seems when I tried to Skype in to the show, their main line here at Blog Talk is not operating for some reason, and they have me on an alternate call-in line. So if I'm not coming through clear, just give me a shout-out there in the chat room or give me a call here. We do have a couple of local PSAs. This is a reminder. We still have the disasters going on in the Midwest and South, first from the tornadoes and now from the flooding. So if anyone is looking to please give a hand, just text Red Cross to 90999, and when you do that, you're going to make a $10 donation to the National Disaster Relief Fund, and it will appear as $10 on your cell phone bill. I mean, these people are really getting hard. They get hard hit first by the tornado, and now some of the same areas are getting hit with the flooding. Now it's going into Louisiana. It's absolutely amazing. So much for global warming. Most of this flooding is because of the torrential snows we had. So global warming is causing the flooding. You catch that one? Also, the Red Cross is looking for people to help them with the disaster relief. Looking for volunteers, and then what they'll do is they'll train you. So get a hold of your local Red Cross chapter. Here in Buford, you can contact Phil Woody. And I said this before, but this is true. This is his email address. It's Woody P, Woody, the letter P, at USA, USA.redcross.com. No, .org, I'm sorry. And I'm putting that website, that email address up inside the chat room, and I just spelled Woody wrong. Oh, God, I'm having a blonde moment here. It's at usa.redcross.org. I think I got it right this time. So give a hand out to the Red Cross. And also locally here in Buford, we have filing open for the City of Buford City Council Chair, formerly held by Gary Fordham, who passed away just this past month. So please contact the voter registration here to get yourself registered if you're looking to run. It's only $150 to file. Right now we have three people vying for that seat. And for those who don't live in Buford County, our voter registration is located, believe it or not, on John Galt Road. Ha ha! Someone had a sense of humor when they built the town around here. Tonight, we've got the school board, and they're going to be considering school closures again. That will be tonight at 6 to 8 p.m. That's going to be at the Buford City Council Chambers. Once again, school closures are going to be up there. I know a lot of you are out there are concerned about the Shell Point School, so I don't know if that is one of the ones they're considering on the agenda, but you may want to attend if you feel you have something at stake here, and I think we do. And tomorrow, Wednesday, May 18th, the Bluffton Tea Party at 6:30 will have their meeting, and their guest speaker will be our U.S. Congressman Tim Scott. And you know we're going to be going through the redistricting, so we may be losing Joe Uli Wilson. He may be going and staying upcountry around Anderson, his district, and Tim Scott may be moving down the coastline and picking up the seats here in Buford County. So if anyone wants to go and meet their potentially new Congressman Tim Scott, this will be at 6:30 tonight at the Golden Corral in Bluffton. Anyone wants more information, they can email the Bluffton Tea Party at blufftonteaparty@aol.com. And let's see what else we got coming up. The end of this month, and this is going to go out to my friend Amory. And Amory said he's going to come in on the show just before this event. This is the Salute to Those That Serve. And this is going to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but they're going to be using ham radios to do this across all of the United States. So this is his PSA.
Saturday before Memorial Day at the Classic Cafe and American Legion Post 499 in Fort Wayne. Join RMAD and the Fort Wayne 912 group as they salute those who serve. Plus talk directly to the troops via ham radio. For more information, visit RMAD.net.
And I'm going to put that website up there too. That's going to be http://www.armad.net. And that's a really good cause. Now, Amory himself is a veteran. He's also the founder of the Fort Wayne 912 Project. He's a really great guy. He's also gotten awards for being an activist. So, conservatives do occasionally win some awards out there, you know. And we will have, hopefully, I'm working on this. I got some information back from the press agents from Gary Sinise. He has Lieutenant Dan Band. He's also the star of CSI New York. We're trying to work it out on his schedule, so I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that this will come through. So we may have, just prior to the Lieutenant Dan Band weekend, which will be September 16th here in Beaufort, we may have Gary Sinise on here. So I'm crossing my fingers. I'm hoping I'm not jinxing myself, but like I said, I am really hoping on this one. It's looking pretty good. I don't know if Mike is listening yet, but this is out to Mike because I know he loves this. It makes his day just roll. This is for you. Cool, Mike.
Okay, Dwayne, we're going to try it once more. Just remember now, introduce yourself and read what's on the paper in front of you. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fine. Dwayne Staub, Substance Abuse Awareness Campaign. This is take 9. Dwayne?
Right. Anytime you're ready.
We're ready, Dwayne, go.
Go. Hi. This is Dwayne Stomp of Blacktooth. Kids, when you drink and drive.
No, Dwayne. No. Got. It's not when you drink and drive.
Right. Let me do it again.
Yeah, good idea. This is Dwayne Stomp, PSA, take 10.
Hi, this is Dwayne Stomp. When I drink and drive, I'll...
Cut, Dwayne. Dwayne, this spot is supposed to be against driving while intoxicated.
What?
Never mind. We'll do it one more time. And remember, say, don't do drugs. And if you must drink this holiday weekend, don't drive. You got it?
I told you I got it.
Fine. Dwayne Stomp, PSA, take, 11.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Stomp telling you, if you do drugs this weekend, don't drive.
Wrong again, Dwayne. It's don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
That's what I said.
No, it's not. It's not even close to what you said.
You come in this booth, I'll show you how close it was, Sherlock.
We're going to do it again, Dwayne. Say don't do drugs. Must drink this holiday weekend. Do not drive. Take 12.
This is Dwayne Stomp. Weekends are for drunks. Do drugs.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much for coming in. I think with a little editing, we've got something we can use.
Don't do drugs. And if you must drink this holiday weekend, don't.
I love that. Cool, Mike, if you're out there listening, this goes out to you because I know you love that one. Talking about people, whether or not they're doing drugs or something, what is up with Schmuck Schumer? I know it's supposed to be Chuck, but he's a schmuck to me. Last week when this whole big to-do broke out with Bin Laden finally biting the dust, this brain surgeon now wants to come up with a no-ride list for Amtrak trains. Now, how smart is that, really? Well, first off, you do have to go through a computerized system to get your tickets and everything. I don't think they even have where you can walk up to the ticket counter anymore and buy them. So you are going to be screened somehow or other. But by turning around with this no-ride list, he thinks he's going to stop the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or whatever it is from derailing one of these Amtrak trains. because when they got Osama bin Laden, they found some documents or whatever indicating that he was trying to get them to contemplate ways to attack our trains. But the way they wanted to attack it was when the train passed over a bridge or through a valley. And by doing that, you'll end up disrupting the track itself. I mean, you can derail a train, but you move it out of the way and the next train can come right on through. You're not going to really disrupt service. To do that, you're going to need to take out the tracks, which I'm sure is what their plans were. But instead of thinking this way, by increasing the security along the tracks or have even more inspections of these tracks, he decides, well, why don't we just inconvenience American citizens just a little more, take a few more liberties away from them, and now just to travel within the United States, they have to go through a no-ride list. Well, aren't they already having police officers and security around the trains anyway? I know New York City is doing that just for even the subways. Washington, D.C. is doing that. L.A. is doing that. Chicago is doing that. They already have increased security, watching people going on and off, watching people with packages and so forth. So what's the point of this? It's just another way to take away our liberties and another way to spend government money, because now he wants to use government funds, federal funds, to increase funds going to Amtrak and other rail services to beef up security. Interesting. And with that in note, you notice Florida turned around and said, we don't want that, what was it, $14 million for the high-speed rail. They said, nope, thank you very much. Well, what'd they do? They're spreading the wealth around. No, it wasn't 14. How much was that friggin' amount of money? Oh, I'll find it. Well, $800 million is going to go to increasing high-speed rails, catch this one now, in the Midwest. Gee, like they really need high-speed rails going between the cornfields. And they want to increase high-speed rails between San Francisco and Los Angeles. Gee, I wonder who that's catering to. Can we say Nancy Pelosi? I wonder how much money she's got invested in that one, too. So Schmuck Schumer is at it again. But talking about people that have some common sense, our state senator Tom Davis has put a bill up here in the state of South Carolina. And I love this man. Absolutely love him. And I'm glad he's my state senator. He's drafted a bill to make state agencies disclose any strings attached to federal dollars before it passes through the U.S. House of Representatives. So in other words, if you've got a bill coming up before our state house, you're going to have to disclose how much federal dollars are in it and what it's going for. What are the strings that are attached to this bill? Just how is the federal government going to make us indebted to them? And I think that's really, really smart. So at least now we can turn around and say, no, we don't want this leash. We don't want this bill with all these burdens attached to it. We don't want federal government in our backyard anymore. Get out. So it's an excellent, excellent bill. I don't have the bill number, but it already has passed the House. It has previously passed the Senate, passed the House, and now it's on its way to be signed by our Governor Nikki Haley. So this soon will become law in the state of South Carolina. Now, if the rest of the country can do that, we can probably get Obama and his cronies off our back. I love it. I love it. This actually should dispel any notion that the federal money simply rains down on states. That is for sure. Absolutely sure. You're listening to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann Ubellis. We got our chat room up, and our toll-free line is open, and I do hope that you're able to call in, because I do know Blog Talk Radio is having some problems with their phone lines. The phone number to call in is 877-404-1619. And if you do hear some noise in the background, I do have to apologize. Yanni is outside right now trying to build me a deck in front of the house. So this is going to be interesting. So if you hear some compressor go on or you hear banging or something like that, it's Yanni trying to wreck the front of the house. Oh, no, not really. Not really. He already built the deck out back, and it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. What happened was when we bought our house here, they have four brick steps and no handrails to go into the front door. And they built the steps that are, you know, you step on the top step to go to open the door, you've got to step down two or three steps to swing the door open. So you try to go in and out with packages, it's just simply stupid. So we finally got it together, got the deck plans, and we got the back one built, so now we're working on the front one. So we've got these construction tapes up and posts around it and wood all over the place and tools all over the place. So if you hear banging or something like that, that's what it is. Talking about budgets, I told you last week about Eric Kander. He put up a site last year called YouCut. It is actually under his majorityleader.gov, his website. Go to majorityleader.gov/YouCut, or even just Google the name YouCut. It comes up with the website. And he started this last year, and it seems to be pretty successful. I'm going to see how it takes off this year, where you, the citizen, put up on his website ideas of things that you can cut out of the federal budget to help trim it. And last year, I've got this up here for last year. Let's see what we got here. The 111th Congress, they had 13 weeks, and some of the things they put up there to cut out of the budget, one of them was to eliminate the federal employee pay raise, which passed last year. One of them that didn't pass was reforming Freddie and Fannie Mac. Here's one that has been suggested just recently by the Heritage Foundation, to sell excess federal property, which they figure would give us about $15 billion in savings. Now, this Eric Kander brought before the House last year, and it really didn't swing. So let's see if they're going to bring it back up again. Now, think about this. If we sell excess federal property, which could be federal parks or just simply federal land that they hold the ownership on, or buildings or other such assets, just property. And they've got millions and millions of these buildings across the United States. You sell them, you no longer have to worry about the upkeep. You don't have to worry about employees having to be hired to maintain them. You can cut not just the budget by holding these properties, but the cost of the maintenance of these properties too. So I would assume that when the final OMB dollars come up, it'll be much more than $15 million in savings. But this is a fantastic site. This one swung through, which was to prohibit hiring newer IRS agents to enforce the health care law, Obamacare. Now, because of YouCut, this went out onto the House floor. It was voted upon and passed in the House. That's $15 billion in savings. Here's another one, to cut taxpayer-subsidized union activities. This is an excellent, excellent site. Now, what they have up there for this year, so far this year they've had, let's see, the ending of the presidential election fund, which would be $520 million in savings, and duplicate printing. This passed to end the continuing resolution, to terminate the neighborhood stabilization fund. That would be another $1 billion in savings, reduce the DOD printing and reproduction budget. That's another $180 million. And you figure you got a million here, another couple of million there. Sooner or later, those ended up into billions of dollars. You add those billions of dollars up, and you've got yourself $1 trillion. You know, it may sound like it's nickeling and diming, but when you get right on down to it, you start adding all this stuff up, and it makes big bucks. It really does. Here we go. What they have up for voting right now for this week is to terminate the Ambassador's Fund for cultural preservation. Now, doesn't that sound like such a little touchy-feely, wonderful, wonderful program? Oh, my goodness. Let's see. This would save us $60 million. Now, under this program, it's saying American ambassadors can request funding for grants to preserve the cultural heritage of their host countries. Oh, how wonderful. Now, we're responsible for preserving the cultural heritage of another country. Much less, you know, try to preserve our own cultural heritage. But no, we got to turn around and work to preserve the cultural heritage of another country that probably hates us and couldn't give a rat's butt ass whether or not we give them money or not. Well, they want the money. They just don't care about us. Let's see, other touchy-feely things for this cultural preservation is, here we go, restoration of historic buildings. documentation of music, or vanishing craft techniques, or languages. Oh, and conservation of museum collections. Now, the program has provided, let's see, a $6 million in grants just in 2010 alone. And over $500,000 went to preserve an 18th century Mongolian monastery. And let's see, over $30,000 went to document traditional Pygmy music in the Congo. Oh, here we go, carpet weaving traditions in Kazakhstan. Oh, I love this one. Almost $40,000 to restore the 19th century furniture at the Anton Chekhov House Museum in Ukraine. Wow. Wow. I think these are really important projects, don't you? I'm going to click on vote on this item. $60 million. Can you imagine we can cut that out right now? $6 million we spent last year alone for this BS. All right, what else is up here for voting at UCUT? I'm telling you, go to majorityleader.gov/UCUT and check this out. Next up for voting is to terminate U.S. contributions to the Asian Development Fund. Oh, the people in Asia really do love us, don't they? I can see those Taliban terrorists in the Philippines really jumping for joy over getting these monies. Let's see. The Asian Development Fund provides concessional, and this is in quotes, soft loans, unquote, funds at the Asian Development Bank. Okay. It provides loans to governments in the Asian Pacific region. Oh, it gives money to the least creditworthy due to the low per capita incomes. Now, you think the least creditworthy probably because the government leaders are stealing all their own government funds, they're also accepting bribes and things, that the money isn't going back into the citizens, into capital projects or anything like that. No, it's going into their cronies' pockets. And we're giving them extra money out of our own government treasury to do that. Oh, whoopee, that makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside. Let's see, these loans are used to promote economic growth and to fund anti-poverty efforts in the borrowing countries. Oh, wow. I can really see Iran using these funds to help raise the poverty level of their own citizens. Not. The poorer they are, the more they can control them. So why do you think that their own government representatives are keeping them poor? So they can buy themselves those villas. Let's see. The U.S. government made a four-year commitment, to the fund of $461 million. Fortunately, only one installment of $105 has been paid so far. So if we do terminate this, it will save us $356 million. I think that one gets a vote. I definitely think that one gets the vote. And the third one up, and let's see what the winner is today. Oh, this is our favorite subject, the United Nations. And the winning one, I think, is this one. It'll save us $400 million. It terminates the U.S. contributions to the United Nations Population Fund. Hey, we got the buzzer on this one. Now, President Reagan, if you remember right, in the 1980s withheld contributions to this fund. After determining they participated in the support and co-management of the Chinese Population Control Program. You remember this? This is one baby, one household. The forced abortion of women. Women having abortions forced upon them in late-term abortions. Women who do give birth and they have more than one child, the doctor tells them the child died and takes the kid away and kills it. Yeah, we really want to give money to China on this one. Now, the Bush administration, they also withheld funds because of the one-child policy. I'm reading this as I'm talking to you. and through the coercive abortion and involuntary sterilization. That's just what I said. Now, the Obama administration has resumed these contributions. Isn't that nice and wonderful? They want to support abortion, but they won't support the death penalty. But they will turn around and kill off minorities through abortions. How nice and how wonderful. I think this one gets my vote on this one. Well, check out this site. It's under majorityleader.gov/ucut. I think this is really good. Really, really good. So check this one out. And I think I'm going to vote for this one. Terminate the U.S. contributions to the United Nations Population Fund. That gets my vote. I'm clicking on that one right now. I'm voting on that. So if you do, it's going to ask you for your email address, which I am putting in right now. I'm putting in my super secret one, not the one I give to you. So I'm casting my vote. Here we go. That gets my vote. Okay, now you're listening to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. Our toll-free line is open, and it's 877-404-1619. And we got our chat room open. And, oh, how many of you have heard that Newt Gingrich has decided to throw his hat officially into the ring? Ah, how wonderful. Newt Gingrich, the rhino in running. He claims that his two biggest mistakes were being undisciplined and I didn't listen enough. He's talking about why people object to him running. Well, if you remember, this gentleman is the one who had an affair while his wife was undergoing cancer treatments and then divorced his wife and married the woman he was having the affair with. He also was Speaker of the House at one point but ended up resigning because of ethic violations involving some book deals and other items. And now recently, Newt Gingrich has opened his big mouth and criticized Paul Ryan and his attempt to curtail the budget. Now, did anyone catch this audio that just came out? This was just posted, I think, last night. He was at some sort of a Republican function. I'm assuming it had to do with his announcing he's running and looking for funds to pad his campaign with. And an unidentified individual came forward, shook his hand, and then had a bit of an exchange with him and told Newt Gingrich he is an embarrassment. Well, this is the clip. Catch this. I hope that you can catch the whole thing.
Yes, you did. You understand.
This is what it's like to be Newt Gingrich these days.
No, you're an embarrassment to our party.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Why don't you get out before you make a bigger fool of yourself?
And that's apparently from a fellow Republican. The former House Speaker ran into a buzzsaw of criticism after he lashed out at Republican Paul Ryan's plan to reshape Medicare. And Ryan isn't even running for president.
Now, isn't that great? I love it. I love it. The unidentified individual, this very gallant man, came walking up to Speaker Gingrich, and he said, "Speaker Gingrich, what you just did to Paul Ryan is unforgivable." Newt Gingrich turns around and says back to him, "I didn't do anything to Paul Ryan." Excuse me? Yes, you did. Well, the individual turns around and goes, "Yes, you did. You undercut him and his allies in the House. You're an embarrassment to our party." And all Gingrich can say is, "I'm sorry you feel that way." Well, the man turns around and he says, "Why don't you get out before you make a bigger fool of yourself?" And Gingrich again, right on top of the ball, says, "I'm sorry you feel that way." Someone asked me before what my feeling was on Newt Gingrich, and I said, too much baggage and too big a mouth. And, of course, Newt Gingrich proved again he is absolutely not the right person to be running for president. Absolutely not the right person. But who am I to say? I'm just a voter here. Well, that's my little take on Newt Gingrich. If you are out in the chat room, give me a little shout out there and say hi. Our toll-free line, like I said, is open. It's 877-404-1619. In fact, I think Newt Gingrich gets a little Charles Durning on this one. Ha! Newt, this is to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, His Excellency, the Governor of Texas.
friends, I want to thank you for that sincere and heartwarming ovation.
No questions, please.
Governor, what do you think of the crisis in the Middle East?
I was saying just this morning at the weekly prayer breakfast in this historic capital that it behooves both the Jews and the Arabs to settle their differences in a Christian manner.
Governor, we got have you seen the evidence of the disgraceful situation at the chicken ranch?
Fellow Texan, I am proudly standing here to humbly see. I assure you, and I mean it, now who says I don't speak out as plain as day? And fellow Texan, I'm for progress and the flag, long may it fly. I'm a poor boy, come to greatness. So it follows that I cannot tell a lie.
What the hell did he say?
Same as usual, not same thing.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I'm come and gone. Solemn and declare, I'm for goodness and for profit and for living clean and saying daily prayer. And now, my good friend, you can sleep like I'll be to you. You can stand tall, you can trust me, for I promise I shall keep a watchful eye upon you.
I hear him talking, but he don't come in.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't know. And gone. Ooh, I love to sleep around the white step. A little swap, then leave the people on.
There he is. Come on, boy.
Governor, Governor, tell the people. Watch your news.
Why has the chicken ranch operation been so long ignored?
We should be having some acoustic problems in here.
Aren't you afraid of possible payoffs and bribes?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Enough of this pussyfooting, Governor. What do you intend to do about Miss Mona and the chicken range?
Now, Miss Mona, I don't know her. Though I've heard the name, oh yes. But of course I have no close contact. So what she is doing, I can only guess. And now Miss Mona, she's a blemish on the face of that good town. I am taking somewhere's gonna have to close her down.
Can you believe that, man?
Is that a yes or a no?
It's possible, maybe.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I've come and gone. Ooh, I love to sweep around the white step. Cut a little twat and leave the people on. I love to dance a little sidestep. Ooh, I love to sweep around the white step.
That goes out to Newt Gingrich. Now, I had a clip of where Newt Gingrich criticized, here we go, where he did criticize Paul
Ryan. What about entitlements? The Medicare Trust Fund and stories that have come out over the weekend is now going to be depleted by 2024, 5 years earlier than predicted. Do you think that Republicans ought to buck the public opposition and really move forward to completely change Medicare, turn it into a voucher program where you give seniors some premium support and so that they can go out and buy private insurance?
I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering. I don't think imposing radical change from the right or the left is a very good way for a free society to operate. I think we need a national conversation to get to a better Medicare system with more choices for seniors. But there are specific things you can do. At the Center for Health Transformation, which I helped found, we published a book called Stop Paying the Crooks. We thought that was a clear enough, simple enough idea even for Washington.
Now, Gingrich, he's the one talking about stop paying the crooks. Interesting. Can we say ethics violation? Well, that's enough about the Newt. Now, what sort of a parent actually names their child Newt? What was his nickname when he was growing up? Tadpole? Yanni's behind me going, nope, his nickname was the Gnat. Oh, geez. It ain't getting any better than this. Now, going on to another subject here, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things, immigration. Obama, I know you all caught his little comment about the border. Here we go.
We have gone above and beyond what was requested by the very Republicans who said they supported broader reform as long as we got serious about enforcement. All the stuff they asked for, we've done. But even though we've answered these concerns, I've got to say I suspect there are still going to be some who are trying to move the goalposts on us one more time.
Racist.
You know, they said we needed to triple the Border Patrol. Or now they're going to say we need to quadruple the Border Patrol. Or they'll want a higher fence. Maybe they'll need a moat. Maybe they want alligators in the moat. They'll never be satisfied.
Oh, Mr. Obama, President Obama, why don't you get your facts right? How about, like 5 years ago, we passed legislation to build a 700-mile border fence. It was supposed to be a double-layer border fence, and you haven't kept that promise. What do we have? What, about maybe 200 miles of it built so far out of, was just only five? No, actually less. It's only 5%. Only 36.3 miles have actually been built, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, you're really doing a lot here. Means under Obama, only 4.3 miles of this fence has been built, which was authorized 5 years ago. So in the last 2 years, they've only been able to go 2.15 miles a year. That's very, very interesting. Only 4.3 miles in 2 years. So, Mr. Obama, no, I think I'd rather go for the moat and the alligators. And by the way, South Carolina has some really fantastic American alligators. That's the species they are. They are known as American alligators. We have an overabundance of them. So this is what I'm going to propose to the state of South Carolina. Rather than going out and doing our annual hunt for gators this year, why don't we just turn around, capture them, go down to the border, and put them in that moat? I'm sure we can build with the prison labor, especially those prisons holding illegal aliens looking to go back to Mexico, we're looking to ship back to Mexico, why don't we use that prison labor to build the moat, let the Rio Grande or whatever other rivers are in the area fill this moat up, and we'll give you, for free, our South Carolina all-American alligators. I like that thought. Anyone that's interested, you know, I do have a personal blog I have up on blogspot.com. So if you go to blogspot.com and then key in Buford Tea Party, you'll kick up with my recent blog I posted about Mr. Obama's statement. And you'll see a cartoon that I created there with an all-American alligator wearing a sheriff's badge and gun belt at the border with alligators going into the river. I really have to update those, so I think I'm going to put the American flag on one side and the American flag on the other. Take a look at it and tell me what you think. Now, you wonder why Obama is not all that keen on securing the borders, but you notice in that same speech you brought back up the DREAM Act, which we thought was dead. Nope, they never let these things die. Well, they resurrected this zombie, the DREAM Act, and guess what? Just as presidential election season comes into full swing. Yeah, just about a year early, but they're looking to garner the Latino votes. So if they secure the border, they're not going to get the Latino votes. But then again, you got to remember that since 2006, we've had this thing called Project Gunrunner, where the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has been authorizing the sale of firearms to straw purchasers. And these firearms go over the border to Mexico and end up in the hands of illegals, of drug runners and other criminals, and then come back crossing over our border illegally by these individuals and have been used in more than 3,000 crimes here in the United States. Now, the idea behind Project Gunrunner originally might have sounded good. They were having gun shops along the border in the main states, such as Arizona, Texas, California. Any firearms dealer, if they felt that someone was a straw purchase, that there was something a little fugazi about the purchase, they notify the BATF, and they give all the information to the BATF, and then the BATF does a little quick investigation, says, all right, fine, this is someone we can trace back into Mexico to the kingpin. So if we can trace the firearms all the way back to the kingpin, we can help the Mexican authorities knock down the whole enterprise from the top all the way on down to the bottom. Good idea, except the BATF did not follow through. So when the firearms left the United States, crossed back over into the Mexican border, they were not following them. So in essence, the BATF was authorizing gun sales legally to straw purchasers, knowing full well that they will be used in criminal activity. And the potential of them for returning across our border was pretty strong. How strong? 3,000 of them have been traced back to criminal activities here in the United States. On one instance, you have an ICE agent that was killed. That was just this past October. In another incident, it was an alcohol and firearm tobacco agent that was killed. So the guns have been used not only just against American citizens, but against the enforcement agents also. So Obama really doesn't want the border secured because he wants those votes. He wants the DREAM Act. Yeah, here we go. Real good. Now, how many of you know someone with the Obama-Biden bumper sticker on their car? How many of you want to walk up to them now and look at them and say, how's that working out for you? I guess not too good. Well, here's something to help them get off that Obama bumper sticker.
Has this ever happened to you? You vote for a charismatic young politician only to be disappointed by his undelivered promises of hope and change. If you're like much of the American voting public, you surely have.
Has your car been marred by an unsightly blemish? Has your property value decreased due to the regretful political statements on your neighbor's car?
Are you tired of being embarrassed to drive through your own neighborhood?
Hi, I'm Brad Stein, and I'd like to introduce you to a brand new product that can help you cleanse your car
and your life from any regretful election day decision.
Introducing the Obama Bumper Sticker Removal Kit. How does it work? Let me show you.
Simply pull your car into a garage, empty warehouse, or otherwise inconspicuous area. Use the official BS scraper to remove the old BS from your car and replace it with a brand new bumper sticker. It's just that easy.
Even works on a Prius. What about your friend, neighbor, or that hippie stepbrother who bought into that Obama BS?
Don't make him live in shame. Anonymously send him a BS removal kit of his very own.
The BS removal kit works on BS of all kinds.
hope and change. Change you can believe in. And that, oh, so hard to get rid of Obama Biden BS. So rent your car and your life of Obama BS today. Only at BSremovals.com. The Obama bumper sticker removal kit does not get rid of higher taxes, mandatory health insurance, or high unemployment. Satisfaction is not guaranteed because, well, you've already proven that you don't make very good decisions.
And believe it or not, this is an actual website. The guy is really quite clever because you know what the OBS removal kit is? It's an ice scraper. Oh, good Lord. Oh, man, it was just too freaking funny when I found this ad. The Obama bumper sticker removal kit, the OBS kit. How many of you are going to go run out and buy one for relatives of yours that have a bumper sticker on their car? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. What else do we have here, coming up here? We have ourselves, there's a news break here on Fox News that North Korea's cyber army is getting increasingly sophisticated. And let's see, we know that the Chinese have been doing this, but now North Korea has it, and supposedly they're targeting South Korea at approximately 15,000 attacks a day, cyber attacks on South Korea per day. Wow. I wonder where they got the technology and the experts to help them do that. Gee, do you think China helped them with that one? How interesting. How very interesting. And this is going to be the new battlefield. Now, according to a defector from one of the schools who was an officer in the North Korean Electronic Warfare Command, the heart of the effort is centered at Automation University, where 100 to 110 hackers a year are trained in advanced electronic espionage every year. Wow. Wow. And their abilities now rival those of the CIA. While coming to a computer near you soon, we may find ourselves under cyber attack from North Korea. And how many of you want to bet that very soon they'll also give this same information over to Iran? Gee, the Chinese are looking to help our friends again. All right, I'm looking at some other stuff that's been coming on. How many of you heard about the Washington Post, their jihadist editorial? Now, this just popped up just a couple of days back on the 14th. In the aftermath of Osama bin Laden's death in battle, the Washington Post ran a four-part series by men and women who, this is what the intention was, quote, had their lives shattered and transformed by, unquote, the Terror Master. Now, one of the people that wrote is a former Gitmo detainee, the teeth in straight. And his name is Mozam Beg, B-E-G-G, Mozam Beg. Now, this guy was held in Gitmo and released. And let's see, I never heard of this guy before, but then after looking at this, I'm wondering what the heck the Washington Post was thinking. Now, the Post, number one, Mozam Beg and his organization, it's called Cage Prisoners. They preach on behalf of an al-Qaeda cleric, and guess who the cleric is? Anwar al-Awlaki. The new leader of al-Qaeda. And he's been known to spread the jihadist propaganda. Now, there is this Center for Social Cohesion in the UK, and they thoroughly documented Beg and his Cage Prisoners for a long-standing relationship with al-Awlaki. Interesting. He lobbied to free al-Awlaki from Yemeni custody after he was detained in 2006, and he broadcast a live message from him during a fundraising event. And he also reproduced al-Awlaki's propaganda on his website. You think he's an al-Qaeda supporter, but the Washington Post sought it to publish his editorial saying that he was adversely affect by Osama bin Laden. I bet. Now, a recently leaked assessment of Begg compared his prepared at Gitmo showed that the military authorities recommended he stay in American custody. They showed he's an al-Qaeda facilitator and confirmed member of al-Qaeda. This is our own military saying this, saying don't release him from Gitmo. But they did anyway. They did anyway. Now, Amnesty International, which has partnered with Begg to demonize Gitmo, well, they also objected. Now, if you got Amnesty International saying, hey, this is a bad dude, do you think you ought to sit up and listen? Because these are the biggest progressive liberals you ever want to run into. But they even said, nah, we don't, you know, this guy is no good. Now, the Washington Post column shows him speaking in front of an Amnesty International banner at a press conference in February 2010. Mm-hmm. Okay. How nice. Now, Gita Sagal, she's the head of Amnesty's gender unit. She's the one that protested the loudest. And she said, quote, to be appearing on platforms with Britain's most famous supporter of the Taliban, whom we treat as a human rights defender, is a gross error of judgment. You think? You think? But no, the Washington Post ran his op-ed on the death of Osama bin Laden. Now, this part will definitely get your blood boiling. This is his part of his piece that he wrote, and this is how he ends the editorial. And this is his words exactly. Quote, the vast majority of Muslims do not agree with bin Laden's targeting of civilians. Yet many will remember him as the man who made the United States tremble, prompting it to unleash a war on terror in Muslim lands and thus strengthen al-Qaeda as a global idea instead of an organization whose members could once be counted. Wow. Wow. Now, you guys are not hearing anything? I hope you are. Tesla said to refresh the screen, Mike. Okay, I hope you're hearing something, so if you're not, let me know. But I'm showing my mic is on and still live. But this is interesting. The Washington Post. This is mainstream media at its most irresponsible. Now, how many of you have heard this? I'm trying to find this now. There is a Muslim pledge. And I'm looking for inside my thing here, and I know I have it here. I saw it just as I was getting ready to go on the air. There is a Muslim pledge in where they pledge allegiance to certain things. Just bear with me as I'm looking for this. I got Obama all over the place here. You think I got a little problem with him? Looking for this. I will find it. I will definitely find this. Well, in the interim, there has been a report also about the CNN host, Farik Zakira, who claims he now advises Obama on matters of international. Oh, Mike, it helps if you do turn your speakers on. I love that. That's too funny. Now, I also know I have a piece on this Farik over here, too. He now claims that, you know, Obama, he picks up the phone and talks to him about international matters, especially matters dealing with Muslims and the East. Gee, isn't that nice? Instead of turning around to experienced foreign affairs executives, members of your cabinet, no. Who do you get your advice from? Oh, why not from mainstream media? Oh, what a fantastic idea. I'm sure that these liberal reporters that can't even get straight one single article they write is going to have the insight and the wisdom to help direct American actions on international fronts. Oh, my goodness. Ah, here we go. This is Farik Zakiri.
I hear you embracing it. Look, I read something in the paper this week, a couple of days ago, that actually made me, you know, brought a smile to my face. It said, the President of the United States calls you for wisdom and advice about issues around the world. So first, when he calls you, what does he say? Hi, Barack, calling for Fareed. What does he do?
Mostly it's been face-to-face meetings.
Right.
It's usually organized by Tom Donilon, the National
right.
Security Advisor. What I'm struck by, though, honestly, Eli, is how much time he's spending thinking about the issues of the Arab Spring, particularly the issues of Egypt, how to make Egypt go right. What are the mechanisms that the United States has to help the moderates and liberals? It's been a very thoughtful conversation. We'll see where it goes.
I'm not going to ask you what you have said to the president, but it makes my heart warm that the president is calling you for wisdom and advice. And thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Calling this clown for wisdom and advice on foreign matters? Oh, my goodness. Just what brain surgeon thought this one up? Oh, I got it. Obama did. No wonder why we're stuck in Libya in the way we are. No wonder why we've got the problems with Pakistan. And by the way, did anyone catch in the news yesterday that a Pakistani Secret Service spy, or whatever you want to call them, one of their versions of the CIA, came forward saying that as far back as 5 years ago, he personally went up to the Pakistani president and said to him, "Sir, I know where bin Laden is hiding. I can tell you exactly where he is hiding, sir." And the Pakistani president did his little Charles Durning sidestep shuffle because, "Oh, we have people on that. Thank you very much." They could have had them 5 years ago. Obama could have been Osama. Oh, Jesus, is that a Freudian slip? Osama could have been a non-issue 5 years ago, but Pakistani didn't do anything about it, and they knew where he was. Man, oh, man. And they say Muslims are people of peace. Well, here, catch this Muslim student pledge. This is right here in the United States going on in our own colleges.
And we want to say to the brothers and sisters who are here, you know, we have brothers and sisters who are here today amongst us who some of their family is, like, locked up on secret evidence. And we say to y'all, hang in there. Hang in there. And we will continue to make dua for you. And don't give up. And we have to embrace them and not kick them to the curb. We have to embrace them. Y'all go back and get to work. We will end with the Pledge of Allegiance. And so you will repeat after me, inshallah. Allah is my Lord. Islam is my life. The Quran is my guide. The Sunnah is my practice. Jihad is my spirit. Righteousness is my character, and paradise is my goal. For I enjoin what is right, I forbid what is wrong, I will fight against oppression, and I will die to establish Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
Isn't that a kick? Isn't that a kick? My goodness. That should have been a wake-up call to everyone. I don't know why every single radio station, TV station, newspaper is not publishing that pledge. The Muslim preach to each other that it's okay to lie to a person who's a non-Muslim. So when they say that they are a religion of peace, you can guarantee that they are lying to your face. You know, they just arrested three American citizens in South Florida, residents in Florida, for conspiring with the Taliban. Now, this is the news item on our Florida Taliban, and they're preaching these pledges in college. And this is about 20 or 30 years ago where they started to convert inside prisons. Now they come out of prisons, they go to the neighborhoods, now they influence the gangs. And the gangs are really cool to youth, so now it's going from them into our universities and from our universities into mainstream media. And people are actually believing what they're being told, and they're not listening between the lines, and this is what results in the Florida Taliban here. Oh, sorry about that. Something happened to that tape. But to go over this, this was just May 14th, this appeared in all the papers in the Sun Sentinel. They were kneeling in prayer in this mosque in the Miami-Dade area, and the police waited until they came out of prayer, and about a dozen of heavily armed feds and police had the place surrounded. And oh my goodness, they ended up saying, "Open up, police!" Oh, how frightening that is. Oh, wow. Well, they ended up arresting a 76-year-old man named Hafiz Ali Khan. And oh, how horrible. He was actually placed in handcuffs. Jeez, the Sun Sentinel, the way they write this, makes it sound like it's such a crime. Well, he and two of his four sons were also arrested. One was down in Margate, and another one was picked up in Los Angeles. And they're under arrest and charged with funneling money to the Pakistani Taliban. Gee, and didn't Obama or, who was it? Was it Joe Biden? Oh, no. Was it Donnelly? Oh, or maybe all three of them that said the Pakistanis are our allies in the war on terror? Right. I bet. Yeah, right. As if they didn't know where Osama was, right there in that neighborhood, right smack next to the military college and so forth. Right. Well, they got him, let me see now, for funneling money to the Pakistan Taliban. And they said it was a long-running conspiracy to murder, maim, and kidnap people overseas in support of a foreign terrorist organization. Now, I understand this investigation was going on for 3 years. So one of Iman's sons is Izzir Khan, a 24-year-old from North Lauderdale. And he was arrested at his mosque just before his 6 a.m. prayer. Oh, gee. They also seized computers in the mosque. Now, the leaders of the mosque have been cooperating with the authorities, which is a good thing. The other son, who's a Miami resident, Arfan, God, sounds like a dog bark, Arfan Khan, he was, oh, my goodness, he was awakened in his hotel in Los Angeles at 3 a.m. How cool. Absolutely how cool. And Cool Mike says he's been handcuffed plenty of times. I'm not talking about the fuzzy handcuffs, Mike. I'm talking about the real ones. Well, let people know our chat room is open. People are up in there posting. Cool Mike's there. Tesla is there. American Citizen. You got Bia Long, Conservative TNT, and we've got a guest there. Welcome aboard. Our chat line is open, so give us a call at 877-404-1619. I don't know if I am coming through clear, but Blog Talk Radio had a problem with their call-in lines. When I tried to call in on the normal line, it was not operating, so I had to call in on a secondary. And sometimes I'm hearing weird things in my headset, so I don't know if it's the new telephone line they have me using or what. And Cougar says, I've been arrested by the real cops 15 times. Ooh, and he's keeping count. Oh, man, Mike, just went up in my estimation. Let's see. Now, this same group that they arrested in Florida, the Florida Taliban, has actually been leaked to the Times Square bombing attempt in this past May, not this May, a year ago, 1 year ago. Interesting. Very, very interesting on this one. Also, let's see. If they get convicted, they have a potential of 15 years in prison. Now, I'm curious, because they're American citizens, they can't send them to Gitmo. So now they're probably going to go through a civilian court. The indictment does not charge the mosques themselves, but they are charging the individual defendants based upon support to terrorism, not on their religious beliefs or teachings. Interesting. And the indictment accuses six of these Taliban, Florida Taliban, of working to displace Pakistan's government and to establish strict Islamic law. Sharia law, just the same thing they're trying to put here in the United States, Sharia law. Some of the money was used for the purchase of guns and weapons. And according to a spokesman for the FBI, they're saying this is just the tip of the iceberg. So there's going to be more to the story, I guess, as the weeks progress. So they arrested three in Florida, six overall. And they say, and there are going to be more arrests with this, with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So they started 3 months ago. So we're going to see where this goes. I'm going to follow up on that one. Cool Mike has come back on, and you missed the Dwayne stop. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Mike. Now, the Gatlin Brothers have a new song out, and it's called American, That's Who. I think we all need a little bit of a cheering up right now. So here's the Gatlin Brothers.
They have fed hungry people. They have clothed people who didn't have clothes. They built shelters for people sleeping out in the cold. And they done all the good things good people are supposed to do. Who are these good people? Americans, that's who. They have freed millions of people from the tyranny of evil men. They've handed the government back into the people's hands. You won't read much about it in the paper. I'm telling you it's true. Who are these good people? Americans, that's who. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. They have left their wives and babies and marched headlong into hell. Some paid the ultimate price, so I can stand right up and tell you how I feel about it. And what I know in my heart is true. Who are these good people? Americans, that's who.
Brothers were on one of the news stations, I think it was Fox News, and they played that song, and I had to go directly to the Gatlin Brothers website, was able to download it. So if you do, Gatlin Brothers on their main website allow you to download that song. It's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. So if anyone else wants it for their show, like I said, just go to the Gatlin Brothers main, their main website. And I had to follow through a couple of links to get it and download it. Now, if anyone did go into my personal blog that I had put up there before, which is on Blogspot, it's www.BufordTeaParty. Right in this as I'm talking at blogspot.com. Now, this is something I think everyone should know about. There is a new presidential power grab up there. There's a bill that is moving right now. It's S-679. It's in the Senate, and within the next 2 weeks, supposedly before the end of this month, it's going to come up for vote in the Senate. Take a look at S-679. 479. Take a look at my blog there on blogspot.com. You know, go below the Gator article and start reading about this, and you're going to get really PO'd. What this bill is going to do is going to remove from the Senate the power to vote or consent for senior government appointments. It's going to remove from the Senate their ability to question, cross-examine, and vote upon government appointments. 200 government appointments will be removed from the Senate, and it will be directly under the control of the president himself. Directly under the control of the president himself. Now, the Heritage Foundation wrote an excellent article about this, and it's titled, "The Senate Should Preserve But Speed Up Its Role in Senior Presidential Appointments." Now, agreed, you have to speed up the process of presidential appointment, but removing it, the constitutional right of a senator or of every American to have their senator to vote upon that appointment is wrong. So because they can't speed up the process themselves because they're too lazy or they're too disjointed to be able to streamline the process, they say, oh, because the Senate can't do it, we're going to take that right away from the American people, we're going to violate the Constitution, and we're going to let the president decide who's he going to appoint. Oh, but to make it sound like it's fair, they're going to create this committee. Oh, I love how these liberals and progressives just want to make their answer to everything is another committee. So this committee would turn around and vet the appointment and make their recommendations. Do you think because this committee is personally appointed by the president, they're going to go against his wishes? I don't think so. It's just another rubber stamp and another removal of our rights under the Constitution by an overreaching president. And believe it or not, if anything makes you suspicious of this bill, Schmuck Schumer is the one who proposed it. Good old Senator from New York, Schmuck Schumer. And his co-sponsor is Harry Reid. Now, it's not a purely Democratic bill. We've got rhinos aboard. Rhino from Tennessee, Alexander. Rhino from Massachusetts, recently elected, Scott Brown. Rhino from Maine, Collins. Rhino, Nebraska, Johns. Let's see, Rhino, Arizona, Kyle. Rhino, Indiana, Luger. Rhino, the biggest rhino of them all, Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell has got his hand on this one as a sponsor. This is unbelievable. Now, the Heritage Foundation, was quoting, was not quoting, but citing areas of the Constitution and history in explaining why this is unconstitutional. And our framers turned around and said, there has to be a system of checks and balances. You've got to be able to control so that one branch of the government does not have more power than another. So that's why we need the Senate to approve or disapprove any senior appointment that the president gives them. But no, why don't we just turn around and violate the Constitution, just throw it right on out the window. By removing these offices from the Senate consent process, they actually diminish the power of the Senate, and they actually increase the role of the presidency. They're going to further reduce the checks and balances set up by our founding fathers in the Constitution. Now, S-679 does not determine if the offices named in the bill are of, quote, little or no consequence, unquote. In other words, are they minor? No, it doesn't distinguish that. It doesn't distinguish that at all. You wouldn't mind if it's some minor bureaucrat 15 steps down the ladder. But you want to be able to have control over senior appointments. And this is not going to allow the Senate to do that. And it wouldn't make any more sense that if speeding up the process of the appointments, the Senate should look at their own internal process and look to modify it. It's not up to legislation to simply remove this part of the Constitution. Now, I would believe, don't you need to have a constitutional amendment to invalidate this portion of the Constitution that says the Senate has the right to consent on senior appointments? But instead, they're going to do this through legislation. You know, the executive branch itself should look internally at their own procedures in an effort to streamline the vetting process. Now, the vetting process has become overly burdensome, and it also has become extremely invasive, you know, as it goes through the federal bureaucracy. A lot of times, you know, they're going to areas of an individual's life that has absolutely nothing to do with the job that they're being appointed to. So streamline that. Cut down the vetting process. Look for the important things, like is this person an enemy of the state? Is this person crook? Oh, I'm sorry. Politician, crook, doesn't that mean the same thing? Anyway, this legislation actually uses a sledgehammer to fix the problem, when really all you need is a simple love tap. You know, legislation should not be necessary to mandate that the president tell his staff to cut the layer of bureaucracy, you know, or to communicate with other departments and agencies, you know, like they say, you know, play nice boys out there. Nor should it mandate a way to tailor the vetting process. You know, this working group that's created underneath the executive branch and appointed directly by the president is only an additional power grab. And it's also another layer of bureaucracy that we can't afford. We really can't. Now, some of the 200 positions to be affected involve Agricultural Department, Chief Scientist for NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the Commerce Department's Assistant Secretary for Communications, let's see, Defense Department's Secretary for Networks and Information, let's see, Assistant Secretaries for each of the armed forces, appointments in the Education Department, let's see, all seven of the Assistant Secretaries of Energy, involves the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of the Treasury, the Treasurer of the United States. Oh, gee. So in other words, Geithner doesn't have to go through Senate confirmation hearings next time. Interesting. Take away the Treasurer of the United States as part of the Senate confirmation hearings and make it directly underneath the President of the United States. Does that sound like a really good idea out there? I don't think so. Also, what they want to take away is the Director of the U.S. Mint. So you've got the Secretary, you know, the Treasurer, and the Director of the Mint. Take them away from the Senate and give it directly under Obama's control. Now, that is a really scary thought. This is absolutely unbelievable. So if you're out there, take a look at S-679. We got a caller coming in, and good afternoon, Southern Sense. How are you doing today?
Hello, Annie. It's Cool Mike.
Hey, Cool Mike. You missed my Dwayne stomp, and I did it deliberately for you today.
You broke my heart. I had to work late, so I'm at home, not at the cafe today. So, oh, my God. What next? My goodness.
You haven't heard about this S-679, had you?
No, but I'm in the process. As you were mentioning it, I looked it up when I'm writing my congressman. This is really weird, is that supposedly the new wave of congressmen and congresspeople, the ones that most everyone likes, Bachman and Alan West, that I can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my congressman, who I adamantly worked hard not to get elected. he's like against all these things. He's like 100% thinking like me, and the people that I kind of were in favor of when we first elected them, or we pushed them to get elected. It's weird how politics is, and this is just another example, at least from our perspective of what you read, of the president himself trying to gain more and more power, very much in the same manner Adolf Hitler gained power, and slowly but surely, and eventually and often, and before you know it, boom.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I'm just trying to make sure that I have the website up correctly so people can look at it. But I think if you drop the www, people can find my blog better. So I don't know if anyone tried to look at it. But I wrote on this one, and the more I read this S-679, the more my blood just started to go like crazy.
Yeah. Very well written, too, by the way, your blog. Very well done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think we all need to be aware of this kind of stuff. Keep in mind, it took basically the collapse of Germany by an invasion of war by the Soviet Union and the United States in order to prevent, to get rid of Hitler. And, I mean, it is, in today's day and age, it is much more difficult to bring down a dictator. So you got to stop it. You got to chop that tree down before it becomes way too strong.
Yeah, and this is one thing that makes me hopeful that, you know, this site that I put up with Cantor about UCUT, you know, it's a start. It's a start. They're starting at, you know, some of the smaller trees just so they can start getting into the forest to get towards the bigger trees. But it's making me hopeful that in 2012 we can now take back the Senate and really get a lot of this work we need done. So,
yeah.
You know.
Wow. So are you, did you contact Mr. Uli and let him know that you are not in favor of this?
Well, right now it's in the Senate. It hasn't moved into the House yet. So
okay, good.
The person I would be contacting is the Rhino, Lindsey Graham, to make sure he does not get on board on this. And so far he hasn't. But
okay,
he's not too fond of me because I got quoted in Political saying that we would work actively to see he's not reelected. So I'm not on his top 10 list.
Yeah. We have two senators, one of which, it's a lot. Sometimes we say in life, like, oh, that person's, if somebody's, you know, my age or a little younger, we say, I wasn't even born then. One of our U.S. senators from Michigan, I was like 20 years from being born after he was elected. He's been there like forever. I mean, just forever. Thinking to myself, oh my God, which means he's been elected to like 6, 7, maybe 10, who knows? He's been there way too long. But he sent me a letter on Roe versus Wade, and it was your typical copy and send letter. And I wrote him a letter back, saying that I was a constituent. For him to make a copy is insulting. I mean, I read him the Riot Act, and I actually called him out. I got a phone call from his office, and they said, stand by. I talked to him personally. And he said, boy,
good.
He says, you got really neat penmanship. I said, yeah. I says, I write him by write letters by hand. I wanted you to know. And I told him some things I supported him on, and basically I'll submit on this. I wish I would have known. But, you know, he's your typical politician. He asked me what I thought at the end. I says, you're a smooth talker. I said to him, why are you wasting your time in politics? I said, you could have been a billionaire. I said, part of the Illuminati selling automobiles. And he started laughing, and he said he hadn't received a handwritten letter, he said, in about 15 years. That's what he said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think people nowadays use email, or they'll type them on the computers. To which I try to keep my penmanship up. I'm not the best of spellers. But this type of law, getting back to our subject, this is, again, you know, what next? It starts off with the Patriot Act 11 years ago. Here we are. We need to nip these things now because, as I said, with Hitler, it took a world war to stop. I mean, took a war, two countries to conquer him. We need to do this now because Barack Obama can become so powerful. I mean, even here in the United States, to where he could become an FDR, to where FDR did very many, a lot of turns. Keep in mind, FDR was there during difficult times, but he made a mess of a lot of things that in some ways today we still haven't untwined.
Exactly, exactly. As a matter of fact, you mentioned the Patriot Act, and I had actually pulled up my notes on it, and I was going over it again and getting myself pissed off all over again.
Well,
and
I mean,
it's amazing how people keep on supporting this thing. And Michelle Bachmann voted for it, which is embarrassing. Your buddy Alan West. And why do they keep on voting this thing in? And you know what I found really, really amazing, because I forgot about this. when it originally went into the Senate, everyone voted yes for it except for one senator. And that one senator that stood in opposition, believe it or not, is the one who offered the biggest number of amendments that all passed, was Russ Feingold.
Wow. He must have wanted something attached.
Is that a kick? This is a man that did the election donation reform with McCain, Feingold thing.
You know, I loved how he, when the Supreme Court basically said you can't cap, I loved how he and McCain were going crazy saying this was basically the McCain-Feingold bill was almost the same way, except for one company just saying here's $1 million. Instead, they broke it up into ten different entities, how you say that word,
entities.
And they sent you ten money orders. I mean, it's just such a joke, and it's really weird how Russ Feingold just loves attachments, and he probably couldn't get many of his attachments on there, so he probably voted it down. But just it's so corrupt. Mitch McConnell, all of those people need to go, and if the GOP presents to themselves another Ed Muskie, another Walter Mondale, another Bob Dole, another John McCain, they're going to find themselves handing the election over to Barack Obama, because the Republicans really can't afford Barack Obama can collapse their party. Their party is not strong. It is very weak. And unless they really can get a person to really challenge them, there's going to be problems. And these bills that you just mentioned on your blog, many more of these will be being passed, because that will basically tell everybody that that will give Obama the green light, and it almost tells Congress and the Senate to back off.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And isn't it amazing that they've come up with this S-679 at the same time Obama wants to do the executive order mandating that anyone applying for a government contract has to reveal who they donated to and how much.
Yeah, that's
part of the government contract vetting. So in other words, if you're not a Democrat and you want to go for that building the new airplane, sorry, you didn't donate to my campaign. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a lot of that is politics. Let's in many, many ways, Annie, our government is as corrupt as many of these other governments. We just don't like to think it or believe it. But in many, many ways, we have so much more money floating around. We're almost worse. It's not covered because our press is owned basically by the corrupted people. And basically, the bottom line is that we as American citizens need to really, really, the next election, we need to kind of be desperate. And we need to think it's now or it may be never. This is the turning point. We can really turn things around, or there's no looking back.
Well, there's one thing that I think one of the reasons why the media is so fixated on 2012 elections is because this November there really is no really hot contest going on out there. You know, it's all a little minor piddly stuff, and maybe you may have a few seats change in the House and Senate. It's not going to be a huge battle. 2012 will be the battle. So they're trying to keep people, the ratings up, you know, people glued to the TV. But the only other problem with that is that people start getting weary of it. And the more they do that, the less they're going to actually pay attention. So I'm not too sure mainstream media is more concerned about their ratings as too much as lull us into a passive viewer type of thing.
Yeah, well, and I see you got in your chat room, you have a presidential candidate, Robert E. Jones. I wonder how he weighs in on this. I feel, Annie, I am not a big booster of the current Republican Party the way it is, but it's almost best to have them in control of the Senate and House, so at least Obama will have a fight. And not just his absolute – I think clearly the Constitution, throughout history, things have happened where clearly you can see This is why the founding fathers wrote this in our Declaration and wrote this in our Constitution. And I think Barack Obama clearly has alliances elsewhere regarding his citizenship, which he produced a birth certificate, so that's legit. But I think clearly that is one of the reasons they wrote into the Constitution about being born on American soil and being with your absolute alliance to the United States, period. So whereas I think Barack Obama, at least from this point, is showing an awful lot of allegiance and alliance first to other religions or countries than he is his own.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what seems to be. And I don't know if you heard that bit about the Muslim pledge, and I'm wondering if he himself ended up doing that Muslim pledge in college.
Well, hard to say. I thought what was funny about that is...
I had to throw that out there.
You know, when you are talking about people being arrested under secrecy, and I'm 100% on the citizen side here, and then you follow it up with a pledge, okay, I think that explains why these people are in jail. I mean, sometimes if you want a pardon from the governor, you shouldn't be calling him a fool. So if these people if people really want justice, they shouldn't be following up with pledges like that, because the people who hear those pledges may be the ones they want to come to the raid if these people are indeed innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you don't want to call the governor a fool and then ask him for a pardon.
I've never been to try it.
I believe that pledge. You know, I think they make that pledge up just so it will get on shows. Honestly, I think these people just laugh and think, because, oh my God, I pledge to the peaceful Quran, and oh my God, I'm thinking, what planet are these morons on?
Well, you know what's going to be funny is y'all have to tune in on Friday, because Friday I'm going to have the author of a book called Stay Mad, and his name is David Graham, and he's also up here on Blog Talk Radio. He's known as the Anti-Commie. I'm on down to the last few pages, and it's basically everything we talk about on our shows. You talk about, Tesla talks about, you know, so on and so forth. And he's completely spot on, and I talked to him last night on the phone, and he says, you know what? If people ask me what your book is basically about, I say, look at it this way. I would rename the book, if I could, to Conservatism for Dummies.
Conservatism for Dummies.
Yep, because he basically turns around and says, look around you. He's saying the same thing. Look around you and see what they're doing to you, how they use certain catchphrases to lull you into thinking everything's fine, and then turn around and stab you right smack in the back. These committees that they come up with, these work groups they call, they're looking for a more progressive way to do this or do that. Little catchphrases that you have to catch on to realize, they're really not on your side. Just take a really good look at what they're doing. And that's one of the things with this S-679, where they have this work group committee. What are we, in the Soviet Union? Are you supposed to go, yes, comrade?
Well, we got plenty of czars. Several weeks ago, Tesla did a show on just how many czars have been appointed, basically. And these are, when people say that word czar, and we think, oh, it's just a term of expression, blah, blah, blah. There's a reason the people, such as the president, are calling them czars and not whatever it is we used to call them. Probably been so long since we called them anything of merit, I forgot. But, I mean, when these words are used, these are concerns. And that's why it always bothered me when that absolutely worthless, useless, no good, rotten, backstabbing, un-American George Bush would always say, my friend and fellow comrade. I think to myself, okay, he's calling Putin his friend and fellow comrade. Putin was in the Soviet Union military for like 25, 30 years. Bush never served an ounce of time, so he was nobody's comrade. But, I mean, those are concerns. Those words, people say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It does mean something.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny how also czar is a truncation of commissar, too.
So what is that? I didn't even know. What is that? I didn't even know that. That's really interesting.
Commissar is the Russian version of a commissioner or commander, you know, commissar.
Oh, okay.
Ah, it's really amazing. But did you catch this bit with Condoleezza Rice? Sometimes I have to shake my head at this woman. You know, she makes me proud in so many ways, and then she does something really wishy-washy like this. And when I heard her speaking in this interview, all of a sudden Charles Durning's song, Doing the Sidestep, started playing in the back of my head. Catch this one and tell me what you think about this.
Do you consider yourself pro-choice?
I consider myself like many Americans on this issue. I really respect people who are on different sides of this divide because this is a tough moral issue. I myself am someone who believes strongly in parental notification. I believe strongly in, I'm against late-term abortion, which I think is really very cruel. I have not wanted to see the law changed because it's an area that I worry about the government being involved in. But I'm like most Americans. I think abortion is a terrible thing. I think it is hard on the woman. I don't think people do it lightly. And I really hope that there will be fewer and fewer.
Catch that. Without even, she's basically saying she personally is against abortion, but it's okay to have it anyway.
That was total sidestep. We're gonna have to send her. We're gonna have to send her that song. She didn't answer anything.
Absolutely.
She didn't answer anything. They went right to the commercial.
Absolutely.
That was kind of like Tesla asking that one moron, the one guy who said, do you want to go back? Remember we had that the first Mickey Mouse guy for president? What was his name?
Jeff Farger.
David John Sondheim from America's Third Party. When he said, well, actually,
I'm
on the
fence. One.
No, I thought you – no, you were there.
You're talking about the one on the gay platform?
No. The first one. No, not Fred Carter. You weren't you were for the first one. We had a guy named John David Sondheim, and I said, welcome to the show. First question to Tesla. Like within 60 seconds, he hung up because he said to Tesla, I'm on the fence. Tesla goes, what do you mean you're on the fence? But, I mean, that's – Condi Rice didn't answer anything. She
she didn't. Absolutely. And I'm sitting there listening to this thing, and she goes, oh, I know it's hard on the woman who makes the decision. What about the poor baby you just aborted? Don't you think it's hard on the poor kid, too, that could have had a life? Unbelievable.
Well, not just that, but I think American citizen brought up a good point. It said maybe if Condi Rice had gotten married and had kids, she might think differently.
And you got to realize, this is coming out of the mouth of a woman who lived through the all the horrors of the civil rights in the South. She lost her own best friend in the bombing of that Baptist church, and this is how she feels about a crime that's being committed against the largest number of people that have these abortions are black women. You know, not white, not Hispanic, but black. And this is that not a genocide in itself?
It is. You should actually listen. Go listen to Tesla's show on Sunday, where he presented. The callers kind of screwed up the show because when he was talking solo, he was giving incredible facts that you would just not. I mean, they are facts of such horrible Holocaust like statistics on as far as the black communities and. Not just that, but just in general. I'll tell you, Annie, your heart stops. Then we called and kind of screwed everything up and started arguing the political end of it. But, I mean, the stats are unbelievable how now. And Alan Keyes pointed this out in a debate many years ago, probably 15 years ago, that how this is coming towards more black babies are being aborted than being born, and how through the years it's going to eliminate generations of blacks, making their political voice almost negligent because eventually it's going to fall under 10%. And that's a perfect example. You ask Condi Rice, who supposedly is an educated Negro from Notre Dame and from the University of Stanford, and he basically asked her a question, and she couldn't give a yes or no answer. She just went into these, you know how the politicians are. They go into these big spurge. They use these big words. Next thing you know, 60 Minutes is at a commercial. I was like, when I heard that ticking, I was like, okay. I don't know.
It was the biggest 2.5 minutes of nothing being said. Absolutely nothing.
I don't know what to say. It's just over and over. Can anybody answer, even in the debates, when they were saying yes or no? None of them say yes or no. It's always a story. I think these people, honestly, just like love listening to their own voice.
Now, and I'm trying to remember, when we had the debate here in South Carolina, someone did answer a basic no. And I think it was Herman Cain. And I'm trying to remember what the question was. It had to do with us being involved in, I don't know if it was Afghanistan or something like that. Everyone else said yes about, I'll think of it probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, but he did give a simple one-word answer, which stopped everyone for a split second and went, oh, really, someone can answer using yes or no?
Yeah. Oh, God help us. Just over and over, here we go. I mean, could she not have simply said yes or no and then explained something? Instead, she just explained. For an example, okay, if you were to say, cool, Mike, ask me the question, and I say, yes, I am pro-life, these are my reasons, or no, I believe in being pro-choice, and these are the reasons. Instead, you just skirt-tail everything and answer nothing.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And what
true.
About calling them out on it, too, Annie, saying I'm not going to let you get away with that?
No, they don't.
Yes or no? Because I remember Mike Wallace had an interview with the guy, I think it was from Hezbollah, and where he, I think it was where he said, the first question, he said, thank you for joining us in the interview. The guy said, thank you for having me. He said, are you a terrorist? And the guy looked at him and said, I'm a servant of God. He goes, really, a servant of God? He goes, he stayed right on there. And, I mean, surely debating this sheikh had to have been more difficult than Condi Rice. Oh, man. I don't have a lot of respect for anybody who served under George Bush, let alone George Bush himself. So what little I had for Condi Rice being a Notre Dame, because she's a Notre Dame fan, and so am I, what little I had for her is right out the window after hearing that.
All right. Now, you were talking about Hannity on Chowdhury, right?
Hannity on what?
That Chowdhury was the person he was interviewing that he went really after? Is that who you were talking about?
No, this was Mike Wallace, and he was
Mike Wallace
on 60 Minutes, and he was interviewing either Hezbollah or Hamas, the sheikh. I was about to tell you, the guy with the long beard, but I guess that's not everybody. one of the leaders,
the long beard.
Fadawa, was it Sheikh Fadula, or John, American citizen will know who I'm talking about, but Fadlawa, Sheikh Fadlawa, that's his name. And he asked him, first question.
All right.
Go ahead.
Catch this one. I don't know if you heard this one that Hannity did. This was, I think, about a month and a half ago. Catch this one. It's funny.
You want to talk over me? Your viewers will see through your lies and your propaganda.
My lies,
the
my propaganda.
The Americans are the biggest criminals.
You
are the biggest
the
criminals in the world today. They are bombing Muslims. They're occupying our land. Yes, I believe in the Sharia. I believe sovereignty belongs
Thank
to
you.
God. And the Sharia will
Thank
come.
You.
Sharia will come to
and
America.
You think,
will
and you believe in virgins
and
in heaven, don't you?
The corruption. It will remove the corruption of democracy and freedom and all of your exploitation.
Yeah.
You are worried because you know Islam is coming to your backyard. And you cannot tolerate that. The biggest criminals and the biggest murderers in the day are not the Muslims. We didn't bother...
I'm a non-believer.
The
I'm a non-believer. I'm an infidel.
I mean, should I, if I don't convert to Islam, should I die?
No, you can live under the Sharia. Your food,
I can live under Sharia.
Oh, provided.
Thank you, sir. Please, I thank you also very much.
Your food, clothing, and shelter will be provided, and you will not be exploited, unlike as in America and in Britain and in the Western countries. You will have the basic rights, and of course, you will live as a citizen. Unlike the way people are being exploited at the moment.
But I must
in America
live as a citizen
under
Sharia. I've got to live under your caliphate and your way of life, and if I don't, I'll die. I'll be killed, and you'll feel justified,
and you'll be rewarded
in heaven.
Look, right, you've got to do a little bit more research.
We've had enough of this.
You cannot base your understanding of Islam on one trip to the library.
My understanding of Islam is exactly accurate. Your comments condemn yourself, sir.
Broaden your horizon a little bit more.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Next time we can have a more decent conversation.
Yeah, well, you're one sick, miserable, evil SOB.
Well,
thank you for coming on anyway. We will analyze the Obama administration's actions regarding Egypt and much more. Karl Rove coming up straight ahead.
I love that. He called him an evil SOB.
What little respect I have for the two-faced, lying, sniveling Sean Hannity, I don't hate him as much now. At least that guy was honest. I mean, he was a lot like Maxine Waters when she was interviewing the oil person, when she talked about, well, you know what? Maybe if you don't lower prices, we'll just take them from you and nationalize them, and then the government do it. At least this individual, this guy, spoke exactly what their goals are. Because normally, they instead of just coming out and saying it, they don't. They're like politicians using these fake words to convince stupid Americans that they have other ideas and they're not as radical. At least this guy said it the way it really is.
Well, Hannity, I have to really hand him on that one because he baited the guy to the point where the guy actually exploded on camera and made those statements. But it took him about 5 minutes of baiting him first. And then, because at first he's like, Islam's the religion of peace and this and that. We live, everyone has the same laws. Everyone's equal. And in the end, Hannity got him to admit that, hey, no, if you're a non-believer, there is one set of rules for you. And if you are a believer, you end up with a higher set of rules. And are you aware that to a Muslim, a non-believer cannot live above them? So in other words, you can never be higher than they are? That's how badly they think of us.
Well, not just that, but why aren't these sheikhs, UBL and Rahman and all these other, why aren't they the suicide bombers? I mean, they want to go, to wherever it is, heaven, and they want... It's not 72 virgins. It's a 72-year-old virgin. That's why terrorism is down now. People discover that it's not 72 virgins. It's a 72-year-old virgin. So why don't they do it themselves? If UBL and all these other great sheikhs and imams and great leaders are so, if they're so into their cause, if they're so believe in it so much. That's a good question. Why aren't they the suicide bombers? Why don't they do it themselves?
That's a good question. And that's a good question. That's one of the reasons why Osama bin Laden was hiding in his nice little palace there. Did you catch this bit on John Stewart? I did play this once before last week. Did you catch him about the Osama bin Laden hideout? Catch this one. This is too funny.
Osama bin Laden was found in. John Stewart has a thought.
Not only did we kill Bin Laden, we killed him in Abbottabad? Abbottabad sounds like the name most New Yorkers would have invented for the fictional place they would have loved to kill Bin Laden. Abbottabad. There's no question in my mind. Hey, I'll tell you what I would do. You give me a gun. You drop me into f***ing Abbottabad or whatever they call that f***ing city over there. I'll get in the shot.
I'll shoot you in a bottom bottom right up bottom bottom here.
Well, I think I don't know if I said this on your show, but I think No, maybe it was our GDT and I. I don't remember. We were talking about that whole scenario, how it has changed day to day. The first report of how he was killed, the second report of his wife was a shoot, just the various different stories. Even weeks later, today, there are different reports, whether he was armed or whether he was not armed. And I made a comment. I said, I think the bottom line is they didn't want to really tell us the truth because he was found bare-ass watching Jenna Jameson porn. And they didn't want to insult all the Muslims. But, I mean, it is kind of funny how so many different stories on how this person was executed. And if you look at the so-called picture where they're all watching and Hillary has her mouth covered, I mean, who knows what she was looking at?
She probably saw the TV screen, so was he watching. Oh, you could actually do that in that position? I gotta try that
could
with my girlfriend
anything,
next time.
Who knows? But she's probably
imagining her girlfriend.
Oh, direct hit! Direct hit! Oh, here we go, female to female. I'll take you in a fight over her any day. By the way, I know you pull hair. You're a former cop, so you're ruthless. So.
No, I don't do girly stuff. I go straight to where it hurts the most, right in the groin.
Even for chicks, that hurts?
Oh, believe me. Oh, yes.
Oh, I believe
you. Oh, yes.
But, I mean, see, Annie, everything we're talking about, these things get halted when you nip them in the butt, regardless of the Patriot Act or whatever. We see exactly what happens after Osama is dead. Here it is. By the way, we pay for all of this. This is done on the taxpayer dime. We are entitled to see this. I mean, the Freedom of Information Act was government saying you're not entitled to it. And it was the law saying, yes, they are. And this is the same thing. This national security. These people hate us day in and day out regardless. Let's give them reasons
right.
to really hate us. But anyway, if we're watching it, there's no doubt and there's no question. Number one, yes, that was UBL. Number two, yes, he is dead. Number three, he was killed this way. I mean, just those type of questions, those type of doubts, those type of conspiracies are all
yep.
nipped right in the butt. But,
right.
you know, I mean, when we're left to the word of a pathological liar, the chocolate messiah, and I look at it this way, Annie, and I mean this with as every bit of seriousness as ever. Did we kill the King of King and Sheikhs of Sheikhs? Or did the King of King and Sheikhs of Sheikhs have him killed? Because to this day, really, the president has yet to really step up for democracy and stand up for, really, the American people while he has for many other countries. So there has to be some doubt to whether or not the president wanted Osama dead for reasons other than 9/11. And
well,
I mean that sincerely.
Article, yeah, there was an article, I believe it was in today's paper, and I don't have it in front of me, but there was a quote from one of the SEALs in the team saying that the order they received from, quote, President Obama, they didn't say from Panetta, they said from Obama, that I guess they just decided it was his executive order, that they were to kill him unless he looked like he was going to surrender. So this is where I said before, as soon as this happened, I said there will be a congressional hearing on this. There's a lot of questions. You know, who in the Pakistani military and intelligence knew about Osama, where he was and where he was hiding? Who were complacent in keeping him hidden? Who in the government, you know, was part of this whole big to-do? Why didn't Musharraf go after him before when they knew where he was 5 years beforehand? When one of their own agents said to him personally, this is where he's at. I can tell you exactly where he's at. You know, now, who in this town helped hide him? Did you look at the rooms? It looked like something out of the slums in Brooklyn, New York, the way the crap was lying all around there. But they were getting supplies from somewhere. He was getting money to live off of from somewhere. you know, who knew what and why did they know? And why didn't they do anything about it? And why did our president wait so long to take action? You know, Panetta actually had to back him into a corner and say, you are going to do this. Do it now. Why? There's a lot of questions here.
No, and I guess they'll need to be answered. You have 5 minutes to go, so I appreciate you taking the time to let me talk. What's Friday's show about? Your show on Friday.
Friday is going to be, we're going to have the author David Graham on. He's got his own show here on Blog Talk called Anti-Commie, and he spells commie with a K. He wrote a book called Stay Mad, and that's the one I said should be the Conservatism for Dummies book. It's very plainly written for people to understand, and you're reading it, and it sounds as if he's standing there right there talking to you as he's going through various subjects. Everything from A to Z he covers in there, from the complacency of rhinos to mainstream media to the Muslim Brotherhood and so forth. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. I like his book. It's not one that goes extremely in-depth into issues, but he gets enough to make you start thinking. And like I said, I call it, you know, Conservatism 101 for Dummies.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely excited to listen to that prior to going into work. Thank you very much, Annie. As always, a great show.
Thanks, Mike, and you're always welcome to call back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Tesla didn't
just
jump in on
me,
this
will
one.
You? 'Cause I'm not at the computer, so just mute me to the end of the show, please.
I got you, baby. All right, that was cool, Mike, calling in. I'm sorry Tesla didn't join in the conversation here or anyone else, but you're all welcome. Chat room is still open for another couple of minutes, and if you notice, today I did a full 2 hours. So my jaw is a little tired. I think I'm going to need myself a nice wine cooler. Am I in the mood for a martini? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, like I said, Friday will be David Graham, and he has confirmed it. He will be with us about 2:15 on Friday, and we'll talk about his book. And it's a book that, if you look at the show page for Friday, it links into where you can purchase the book and read portions of it. And it is a good book, and it'll make you laugh at times and make you mad at times. So we will have him on Friday. And like I said, I am working on getting Gary Sinise to come on before our Lieutenant Dan weekend. I've been in talks with his promotional staff, and they'll let us know more about it about a month before. So I should know sometime in mid-August whether or not I will actually get him hooked in. So I hope I'm not jinxing myself. Got my fingers crossed. I want to thank everyone for joining us. And Dirty White Trash told me to do a shot of Jack Daniels. In my younger days, I used to do that with a side of beer, but that was when I attended bar in a Marine Corps club. the shame of getting older. Well, I want to thank everyone for being in the chat room and listening in, and I will be back with you on Tuesday. One thing I didn't do, I'll be back on Friday. One thing I didn't do is there a wacky warning contest. And this is a contest being held every year now. This is, I believe, the 11th year or 13th year. Wacky warning labels. For example, someone's got a dust mask. You know, those things you use in construction sites when you're knocking down the drywall. The warning sign on it says, does not supply oxygen. Well, maybe we'll go into that later on. But again, I want to thank you for listening in. And join us back again on Friday, when we're going to have the author, David Graham, with his book, Stay Mad. And I'm going to ask you out there, when you see things like the Senate Bill 79, please stay mad. Stay mad and get a hold of your senators and speak out on stuff that really pisses you off. It's well worth it. Y'all have a great night, and see you then.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party.